Broadcasting live from beautiful, historic Marion, Ohio, it's Now with Scott Spears. Call Scott live on the air anytime at 740-383-9944. No topic is too big or too small. I'm your announcer, the man with the golden voice, Ted Williams. And now, here's your host, Scott Spears.
Thank you, man with the golden voice, Ted Williams. Scott Spears back with you here on a Thursday morning. My goodness, the week is almost over. They keep on flying by. Thursday morning, November the 13th, 2025, 13 minutes past the hour. Good to have you with us for the ride this morning. Now, I don't know what's going on. We did a little work here in the studio last night, always trying to better the sound quality for you, the listening audience. And for whatever reason, my headphones are extremely loud this morning. I can really hear myself right now, and I could really hear the news, the weather, and the theme music. Now, I don't know what's caused that. Everything else seems to be working okay, but here in the studio, it is loud in the headphones. But we will soldier on. If it sounds good to you out there, then we'll keep on going down the road. I do want to thank everybody. The last two mornings, we have had great call-ins. Heard from a lot of people. People call back in. They express their opinion. And that's what we all want to hear. And people like that who are listening. I've heard from a ton of people this week who have enjoyed the last two or three days of shows with all the call-ins and all the conversation that we're having. So I appreciate that. And we're going to keep the conversation going. Because you know what? Everybody has different opinions. And that's a great thing. And we don't need to criticize each other. We just need to give our opinion, talk, and go on down the road and let the audience decide what they think is right and what they think is wrong. And that's what a news organization is supposed to do. We're supposed to present the facts that we have, talk about them in a talk show format, and then go on down the road. So I have appreciated all the calls that we have had, and we even heard from our good friend Judy yesterday, so it was good to hear from her. We had not heard from her. She reemerged a couple weeks ago. We had not heard from her in a couple years, actually, and then she reemerged yesterday, and it's always good to hear from her, as well as everybody else who called in yesterday. Always good to hear from you, the listening audience. So hopefully that continues this morning, because we've got a wide open agenda here this morning. The phone lines are open, 740-383-9944. Well, there's some interesting stuff here to talk about this morning. We spent a great deal of time yesterday talking about this $25,000 that the city has allocated for people in need during the loss of SNAP benefits. Now, the government is, I believe, back open now. So we've got that going on. But, you know, the economy has taken a hit because of this. There's no doubt about it, and there's no two ways about it. People are in a bad spot, and this $25,000 was allocated. Now, the problem was there really is no teeth to this legislation, and everybody I talked to after said there really is no direction here. Now, I asked the mayor on Tuesday morning how this money was going to be allocated, and it's now Thursday morning, and we still have not heard anything back from the mayor. But again, I don't know. This might be a difficult thing. I've never been a politician. I've never been elected. I don't know. This might be a difficult process. But here's my idea, because a lot of people are criticizing this, and a lot of people are in very much favor of this. So here's what I think should be done. There's no way you're going to be able to give this to people individually. That's almost impossible to do. So here's what I think should be done. As I have said for many years on this show, the Marion Homeless Shelter gets very little attention. Very little attention. So this type of money would mean a lot to them. Now, I don't know that the whole $25,000 could be given to them. But if you gave the Marion Homeless Shelter, and I'm really off the top of the head here. I was not thinking about this until this morning. If you gave the Marion Homeless Shelter, let's say, I'll go high here. Let's say you gave them $20,000. $20,000. Do you know the type of Christmas, the type of Thanksgiving, the type of work that the Marion Homeless Shelter could do here in town. They do not receive a lot of donations like that. I don't know that they've ever gotten a donation like that. And coming from the city of Marion, that would mean a lot. You could give those kids a great Christmas. They could have food, and then maybe other money could be allocated towards Santa Claus and toys and things of that nature that they normally don't have the money to do that with. Now that would be a real Christmas miracle and show the heart of the people of the city of Marion. And I don't live in the city. And I don't think anybody would have a problem with that. That would be a nice thing to do. Then maybe with the remaining $5,000, there are a lot of very successful food pantries here in town and groups that do dinners. Now, I would probably stay away from the bigger churches because the bigger the congregation, the more donations you get. So they don't usually need a lot of help. But the smaller churches, you know, if you gave them $500 to $1,000, if you picked out five small churches and gave them, or five small food banks and gave them $1,000 each, maybe one of those, because I consider the peanut butter jelly truck as sort of a food bank. If you gave them $1,000 each, five of those organizations, it would get to the people. So I think that's a nice idea. You know, mayor, if you're paying attention, or administration, that's what I think should be done, but I don't live in the city, and I'm not a voter, and I'm not a politician, so there you go. Go ahead, caller.
Scott Spears, good morning.
Good morning.
Have you ever been to the homeless shelter?
I have.
Okay, they don't have room for $20,000 worth of food, and I don't know how money sitting in a bank account would benefit people immediately, which I think was the intention of the money.
Well, here's the thing. Here's what the thing that disturbed me about the homeless shelter that I think people don't understand, and I did not know this until the radio station was in the mall a few years ago, is that there are kids there, and there are families there, mother and father, and these are not older people. And in Marion, in the winter, you know, which is here, I mean, we've had a couple cold days here, even though it's still autumn on the calendar. I remember being at the radio station in the mall, and I would see these families come in, and I would go out and talk to them after a few days, and I would say, hey, what are you doing here? And they would say,
getting warm, right?
They come there to get warm because they have to clean the homeless shelter during the day, and they can't stay there. So
back in my social services days, I was at the Goodwill building that used to be Fahey Bank over across from the fairgrounds. And the men's shelter was right next door to us. And I don't even believe it's a shelter anymore, but that was single men only. So they had to leave during the day, and they were expected to go look for work. But yes, even in the dead of winter, the people that didn't have cars were expected to leave on foot during certain hours. Now, if you work third shift, then you were allowed to stay during the day so you could sleep and stuff. But yeah, they have to leave the shelter during the day.
Right, and you're probably, I mean, for anybody to go out and buy $20,000 worth of food, I don't know any group in town that could house that immediately. But
Salvation Army, well, maybe not $20,000 at once. But there are other places, too. Like, we've got B Ministries, and I'd have to check with them. I know we've donated stuff before, but I believe they shelter men because, you know, you run into the issue, too. If you have a criminal background, it's kind of hard sometimes to find a place to take you, and I believe the Ministries is kind of less judgmental when it comes to that sort of thing. So they have a need for food there, too. But, you know, Salvation Army, their thing is they buy from the Mid-Ohio Food Bank, and this is what I don't think a lot of people understand. People were saying, oh, the wine gave $7 million to food banks or something along those lines, and then he saved $18 million for the lowest income SNAP recipients. But $7 million, somebody's like, well, that means Marion should get $30,000. I'm like, I don't know where you did that math, but no, that's not how that works. When it goes to the centralized food banks, like ours would be Columbus, it's the Mid-Ohio Food Bank, they buy food. This food isn't free. This food is paid for. So the Salvation Army food is paid for. Now, what Mid-Ohio Food Bank can do is they can take $1 million and buy $5 million worth of food directly from the distributor because, you know, they don't have to pay the Kroger markup and that sort of thing. So that's how they can buy three meals for a dollar. But then Salvation Army has to buy, and not always buy, Mid-Ohio does donate. Salvation Army needs funds to purchase these food items from Mid-Ohio at cost. Mid-Ohio does no markup. But the food is not free that comes into these food banks. Marion, Ohio didn't get $30,000 from the state of Ohio. This food that comes into places like Salvation Army and your other big food pantries, it costs money.
Oh.
And Breaking Bread Food Ministry, it's over on Bell Fountain Avenue, their storage unit caught fire, and they lost $30,000 worth of food.
Well,
no way to replace it.
No. And I guess my point this morning, and really, this was just spitballing as I was driving in here, because I thought, well, maybe we'll have something this morning from the administration. But I'm sure they're under the gun, too. I don't think they want to leave people out. I think they're trying to do the right thing.
No, I don't think so. It's not easy just to say, hey, let's peel off $25,000 and do this, that, and the other with it.
Right.
You have to do it responsibly and figure out where it's going to come from.
Right. So I'm not knocking them at all. I'm just saying it takes time. But I think, I was thinking of because I've been to a lot of food banks and seen what's going on there. I've been to the turkey dinners on Thanksgiving that a lot of the churches do, and I've seen a lot of these organizations up close, the peanut butter jelly truck, and to me, the one that always seemed the most downtrodden was the homeless shelter, and the one that people seem to raise the least amount of money for. I mean, what charity event seems...
This is perfect. This is actually perfect that you're mentioning. And the Lord must have been laying it on your heart this morning because they are doing a drive-through donation thing this weekend to Tony Supplies, to the shelter. They are asking for specific things. It's on their Facebook page, but for the people that don't do Facebook, they're asking for cleaning supplies, paper towels, toilet paper, printer paper, things like that, because people do apply for jobs and stuff down there. So it's not just for them to send out letters, for people to print out resumes and that sort of thing, and maybe apartment applications. But yeah, they have a whole list on their Facebook page. So see, isn't that crazy how you and I are working together for the good of mankind this morning?
Well, I guess my point this morning is, because I know there are a lot of organizations, and I got to thinking last night, and I'm not saying this in a joking or pejorative way, but there are a lot of churches in Marion. And
mm-hmm.
and I know
now. See, that's why I called. Don't be giving tax dollars to the churches. I'm sorry, I got a problem with that.
Well, I'm not saying
they're a certified food bank, non-profit type thing.
I'm not saying don't give any money to them. But what I'm saying is we have so many of them. I would hate for a smaller one to be left out because maybe they weren't aware or couldn't get somebody up there quick enough to get the food distributed. So my opinion is the bulk of the money, let's put it that way, should end up at the homeless shelter because I know that would make a tremendous difference there. But there are other groups, and I don't want to leave them out. Obviously, the peanut butter jelly truck, we've seen the things that they're doing. And there, you know, I ran into a lady the other day who, and I honestly, I don't remember the name of the trailer park, but it's a trailer park here
in north side of town, and they don't have water.
Well, yeah. Yeah,
Is that the one you're talking about?
It could be. I truly don't remember the name of it. But
there's two, and I don't think there's the one that's behind Stewart's, and then there's the one that would actually be on Main Street, so that's the one I think they're talking about. It would be on the same side of the road where Smith Cardinal used to be.
Well, the lady I ran into, because she was buying a lot of canned food and things of that nature, and when I see that, that's usually a tip-off that something mm-hmm. like a food bank is going on, or a food pantry. And I said, I don't want to pry into people's business, but I said, hey, buying a lot of food today. And she said, well, I'm actually stocking a food pantry. And I said, oh, that's great. I said, which one? And she said, well, actually, I live in a trailer park here in town, and the owners of the trailer park gave us some money to start a food pantry, and we've wanted to do this for a long time.
Nope, that's a different one. I saw her thing on Facebook. I think she's Fountain Place, if I'm not mistaken.
It could be. But
we have a crisis with a trailer park on North Main Street that doesn't have any water and hasn't had any water for quite some time.
So I guess when we get back to this $25,000, just as a suggestion, because I do know council people and administration do listen to this show, I do believe the bulk of the money should go to the homeless shelter. And then I believe once we get past that, then we can start looking toward the peanut butter jelly truck. We can.
How about not just the homeless shelter, but any organization that's addressing homelessness?
That would be good.
They are not the only ones. I'm pretty sure B Ministries does something for men and I'm not, type stuff. I'm not positive. It's been a while since I've done any work with them.
And I'm not against B Ministry. I just would like to know how many they're housing versus the homeless shelter, and wherever the most homeless people are should get the bulk of the money. And and based upon that, then what's left, you know, there are a lot of these food banks, food kitchens, food pantries that hardly have anything.
There is one on Oak Street. It is behind, it's where people practice maneuverability, if anybody knows what I'm talking about, or where you do your maneuverability test for your driver's license. There's one in there, and I was out walking one day, and they were not even open for another 45 minutes, and I think the line was probably 10 or 12 people deep.
Yes, and I think those need to
Helping
be...
Helping Hands, maybe, it's called?
Well, and, I guess what I'm worried about, and again, I'm not saying these groups don't do great things, but I started to think about places like Dayspring, where I vote. And I started to think about places like the Nazarene Church. And I started to think about places like Family Life Church. And not that they don't, I hate to even say their name like that, but they are big churches with big congregations, and their food banks and pantries are stocked up more than others are because they just have access to more money and they have access to more people. So it's the smaller churches that try to do these things that do supply a lot of people that probably are in more need of this money than they are, and that's all I'm saying.
But even your people that provide meals, because there's a meal list, and just about, well, I think Amy said this when she was on your show, just about every day of the month you can get a meal at one of these. It's typically a church, but not always. Salvation Army does it on Mondays, but there's some other ones that do meals, like where the new fire department's going, that old church that sits right on the corner of State and Columbia.
Right.
They do a meal.
Right.
So, you know, that's food directly going right in people's mouths.
Right. So I guess that's my thought on this whole thing. But the conversation we had yesterday on the show, which I thought was interesting, a lot of people called in. What do you make of this? I said big backlash. It's not really a big backlash, but what do you make of the backlash in general from the comment section and things
like
that?
Oh, I've been deleting and blocking people right and left. This is the conversation I was having this morning. We've already had it this morning amongst a group of us.
Well, what do you make of that? What do you make?
I think it's disgusting. If you would begrudge another human being and you need to, if you feel the need to analyze someone else's grocery cart, but not the fact that Jeff Bezos shut down Venice, Italy, so he could marry somebody, get married, or bought out Venice, Italy, or however you want to put it, if you're more worried about what somebody has in their grocery cart than how much money he has, then you might want to reevaluate your priorities.
Yeah,
you have a problem, especially with kids. Oh, my God. If you have a problem with feeding kids, then no, I don't want to be your friend.
Well,
I don't care. Like, are kids supposed to get jobs?
Well, here's the thing that will be unpopular, because I have seen the city take some critique after giving this money, because they sent the letter to the auditor of state, and I'll give people that the timing is not the greatest, because they sent the letter to the...
Okay, we knew we were broke when we were throwing the strongest towns.
Well, but that's...
I
don't remember the outrage when the budget director was created. I don't remember the outrage when the grant writer was created. I don't remember the outrage when the strongest town party was thrown.
No, because those are... The bums aren't associated with that. Lazy bums that won't get jobs aren't associated with that.
Right, but here's the thing.
I mean, my tax dollars should not be going to feed lazy people that won't get up and get a job. It should be going to people that paid to buy votes and make us the strongest town instead. you can feed somebody a hot dog once, maybe you can feed them a meal more than once. What'd they say, like $5 a person to feed? That'll buy 15 meals at Salvation Army.
Right, but here's the thing. What bothers me about that is I do believe that council and the administration have been consistent on this, in that they didn't seem to ask a lot. I'm not saying nobody did, but there wasn't a lot of questions or debate on any of those issues. The strongest town party, the budget director, all that. But there also was not a lot of conversation Monday either about the $25,000.
Man, you'd look like a real jackass if you sat up there in city council and said, oh, I'm not, well, I don't know.
Right,
because
but they were consistent.
When the bus thing came around, there wasn't any, well, no one said no. Some of them just said, I'm not sure.
Right. But they were consistent. They were consistent in, there's a need, we want to do this, let's do it. So the city council, I got to give them credit for being consistent in these matters. And the problem is it's whoever these people are, this public group that is knocking it. Well, okay, but you know what? Everybody has known for quite some time, and certainly the people on the inside of the city, that the funds were not, at least the last 2 years, that the funds
were not... Oh, come on. We've been paying bills late for how long?
Right, but that's what I'm saying. To act as if just because this letter went to the state, now we should stop doing things. You know what? Government is there. You have elected city officials to do what the community needs and wants. And this was something every one of them voted for. I can't think of anything. Budget director had 2 negative votes. Strongest town party had 1 negative vote. You know, I can't think of anything that passed unanimously.
Well, we had the grant writer, too.
Yeah, I know. Maybe that did pass unanimously. I don't know if that did or not.
I don't remember, but I'm just saying that's another creative position.
Right. But I just, I'll give them credit for consistency so that city council's being knocked now.
Okay, can you really say no, we won't give $25,000 to feed people when you just created a 6-figure position?
Well, that's it. I wonder if...
I mean, that's total asshattery right there if you did that.
Well, right, but the problem is that some people are using that as their reasoning, but nobody's saying get rid of the... is it economic development position? I think that's what it's called. Nobody's saying get rid of that. I mean, that would save you more money than the $25,000 would. I'm telling you, people have a problem. They consider it a handout. And they don't like that. And I'm not sure what that is. And, but we've seen
it. The majority of people, okay, Sean Barr said this Monday night, the majority of people in Marion, 60% that receive food stamps, not be fancy, let's just go ahead and call them the ghetto term, that receive food stamps are kids and the elderly. Okay? So, children and the elderly. The rest of the people, at least one person in the household works.
Well, right, and
so,
also...
I mean, who are we telling to get jobs? The kids?
Folks? What was Aaron Rollins' statistic Monday? I thought that was a very good one. That a dollar in food card
money... $1 in SNAP creates $1.73 in economic development.
Yeah, okay,
now,
so...
for people to get that is...
So right there...
When I go to Kroger and spend my dollar in food stamps, that employs Scott Spears.
Absolutely.
And put out the produce.
Absolutely.
And the manager to tell everybody what to do, and the person that
but it also
carts and all of that stuff, and then you fools pay taxes.
Absolutely. But it also allows those people who don't have a whole lot of money to spend their money maybe going out to eat once a week. And that helps the restaurants.
Well, paying their rent,
paying their bills, so on. Maybe I'm sure they might have a car in Marion, Ohio, car insurance, whatever their car payment is. You know,
hopefully they have those things, but yes, those are real bills.
Right.
People want to complain, oh, they don't have car insurance.
So,
you know, but like I said, Bezos shut down Venice, Italy. Right, to get married.
So I'm saying, you know, the $25,000 that Marion laid out Monday, if it is properly distributed, as ways we're talking about here this morning, and these are just suggestions to the administration, it can be an economic starter for the city of Marion, much like these other things maybe are not. I don't know that the budget director is an economic starter. I don't know that the economic development director... Time will tell if that's an economic starter or not. I don't know if the party in the park, as much as people enjoyed it, I don't know that it was an economic starter. This will be, because food will be bought in Marion, Ohio, a lot of it. So, you know, that's different, and I don't know why people aren't taking that tact.
I don't know why people Because the old stereotype dies hard, and what people were talking about on Facebook, I just have ignored a lot of the comments. Now, a couple of people I've just removed from my friend list, a couple of people I have blocked, and I'm not typically a blocker, I just unfriend you. But people need to, I actually studied this in college and some of the training programs that I've taken over the years. 1996, the Welfare Reform Act, Bill Clinton. You are required, if you are an able-bodied working adult without a dependent, you're called an ABOD. If you are don't have a child, you're an able-bodied adult, you are required to work or volunteer 80 hours a month. This is federal law. You are work or volunteer 80 hours a month, or you are to do a work program through Job and Family Services. So you can't lay on your couch and collect food stamps. You get 3 months that you are able to do nothing. Now, typically they consider that a transition period, like, say, you just got out of jail, you just got out of the hospital, or things like that. They will give you 90 days where you do not have to comply with that. After 90 days, you're complying or you're cut off.
Well, I guess...
And it has been that way since 1996. So yep. I wish people would get this crap out of their heads. There have been times during COVID and things like that, 2008, the economic downturn, where those rules were loosened. But right when those disasters or whatever you want to call them are declared over, those rules are tightened right back up. So you are not going down and getting food stamps and laying on your ass. It's just not how it works.
But I guess, again, I do have to go back to council, and I've got to say they're consistent. Because I remember there was a big hubbub earlier this year about raising the rates on transit, and they voted against it. And, you know... And I think that was a unanimous vote, if I remember right. So,
yes. Two of them said they didn't know, but then I don't know. Did it come down to a vote? I think they voted to take the power away from
And wasn't that amazing?
Yes.
And I think that was unanimous. So
that was unanimous.
So the point is that this council, like them or not, and you can dislike the personalities, and I've said there's a lot of personality in that council right now, I believe they do genuinely care about the people of this community. Do they always express it in the best way? Probably not. And
do they have their favorites? How's that? Do they have their
They probably do. But I do believe, I've always said this, I've always said this about the mayor, and I've always said this about council, I believe they think what they are doing is right. But nobody's right 100% of the time. But
well,
on these,
Ted Bundy thought what he was doing was right too. So.
Well, there is that. But these two times that they have done this, I honestly don't think they did it not to look bad. I think they did it because they thought it was the right thing to do. And you know that goes a long way. And if you don't like it, I guess you can vote them out. But this idea.
Not for two more years, but.
Well, you get your shot.
Hey, you know what they did? They played the old switcheroo, and they got in for their second term, and now they're going to be a bunch of dirty liberals, and they're just going to start handing money out to all the lazy bums in town that won't get jobs, and then those people are going to get face tats and eat lobster. It's going to be,
What is the bitterness? I guess that's what I'm trying to get out here from a psych. You know, every time when I was in college.
You know who I'm bitter at? Bezos. I'm going to keep coming back to him. That man makes $8 million an hour 24/7. Well, and we're mad that somebody in Marion, Ohio that has a less than $40 an hour job to survive gets a little bit of food.
Well, I guess I'm just trying to figure out the psychological and sociological anger about this.
Jealousy.
Yeah, but even if you disagreed with the 20, you can disagree. I mean, God knows policies have been disagreed with before. You can disagree with them doing that, giving $25,000, but we don't even know how it's going to be done yet. And we don't even know if the opioid money can be used. If the opioid money can be used, I don't see why that's a bad use of that money. So why is the anger already coming out from people who are probably not making $500,000 a year?
That's what I don't get. It's because statistically speaking, the bulk of us are less than median income in this town. None of us are wealthy. Statistically speaking, I mean, yes, there are wealthy people that live in Marion, but the bulk of us are not wealthy people.
I'll tell you this, middle class
or lower.
If you went to the truly wealthy, let's just say people who have $1 million in the bank account. If you went to those people in this town, those aren't the people complaining about this.
No. And you know, and the people that are complaining about it, if they looked around in their family a little bit, I bet they'd find somebody that received food stamps. I mean, statistically speaking, they'd have to. They'd find somebody that received Medicaid. They might have a cousin or a niece or a granddaughter or a son or somebody that got Medicaid because they were pregnant and didn't have any health insurance. I can't remember what the statistic is on Medicaid recipients in Marion. But did you say it's 25%?
I think it's 33% in the county. Yeah.
So, I mean, statistically speaking, if you look around, one in three of us are on Medicaid.
Well, I will tell you this. This is an absolutely true story. And again, I'm not going to say the name because the person is entitled to have the privacy of their vote protected. But I know somebody who absolutely was a Trump supporter last year, absolutely voted for Trump, I know, in 2020, and definitely did vote for him last year, who, because of what's going on now in the government, is appalled by him and has actually said now they'd like to see him removed for this whole Epstein thing. And this is all based in health care and food. And because this person received some benefit from that. And it has turned them around on him. So, you know, it does matter. It does matter what you do and say.
Oh, I agree. And I know some people that are making some generous donations right now because they see what's happening and they fully supported Trump and they're having a hard time with and they're very, very religious people. And they're having a hard time with the cognitive dissonance of what they voted for and what they profess to believe.
It's very interesting. Hey, I'm glad you're out there.
Take care, Scott.
Thanks for calling. Bye-bye. All right. Phone lines are open here this morning. And again, I love to have the conversation and we can continue this. And you don't have to agree with this either. If you called in here and said, hey, you know what? I don't think this is a good idea to give $25,000. That's fine. You're entitled to that opinion. We just want to hear different opinions, and I think that's the truth. What people can't do is misstate facts. That's what I don't like. Misstating facts is a problem. Go ahead, caller.
Hey, Scott, how you doing?
Yeah, I'm great. How are you?
Not too bad. Hey, I just wanted to call in and, add a little perspective on my side of it.
Oh, please do.
I've taken a lot of heat from people about my opinions and my perspective on SNAP and social services, and I thought every time I've made any comments, either on air or in Facebook or whatever, I always put out there my support for social service programs, yada, yada, yada. I'm a contractor. And when you call me to come to your house to look at a roof leak and it's came down and your ceiling's all damaged, and I don't just fix the ceiling. I don't go up on the roof and just talk the hell out of the chimney where it's I fix the flashing, I fix the problem, and it never leaks again after my job, and we move on to the next problem. So I approach life the same way. And as I said with SNAP multiple times, I think it's absolutely a needed and beneficial service, as are many things. I think there's also, and I know, because I see it personally, not from one family, not from two families, but from in my walk of life, just my walk of life, I see it being abused, and there's massive fraud in it. Me saying that, and I keep saying that, doesn't put me against the program. You know, people say, well, Phil, you know, when you bring up the negative side of it, when we're trying to collect funds and we're trying to get donations, you know, you're putting people off, and they're not going to donate. The people that are going to donate are donating already. The people who aren't going to donate, they're just looking for a reason. I deal with the people down the middle. I'm not left or right. I'm down the middle, and I'm looking for solutions. And I think that SNAP was in the forefront. It was on everybody's consciousness. It's in your mind. So that's the best time to talk about it. That's the best time to go over and have the hard discussions. I absolutely support. We still need to. I 100% support, and that's rare for me, the peanut butter jelly truck and Amy and Brock Parker. Those are two people that absolutely, they walk their talk, and they're very non-political. As I said, when there's a school shooting, the first thing the left wants to do is we need gun reform, we need gun control and all that, and I'm absolutely for that. I agree with that. On the right, you have, oh, this is not the time, you know, this is thoughts and prayer time. Okay, that's the same thing about, you don't talk about the fraud during the SNAP crisis. You know, the best time to talk about those things, when there's a school shooting and you need gun control or reform or whatever it is, you know, I'm not for banning guns on any shape or form, but it is the best time to talk about it because everybody's thinking about it and everybody's on their smartphones, and maybe get them off looking at reels and memes and all of that, and let them say, oh, wow, what's that mean? And they start Googling gun reform, and they start Googling this, that, and the other, and it makes them think. You know, my whole point with this, with the staff thing, is any bureaucracy, there is waste, there is fraud. I'm not trying to point the finger at anybody. In concept, I'm for what DOGE was about. I'm absolutely not for how it was implemented or you know, put into effect. So, I mean, I'm not an either-or person, and that's, to me, one of the biggest problems. It's, you know, I'm hearing, Phil, I thought you were on our side. I thought you were this, that, or I'm not on your side or their side. I'm on the side of what I feel is right or wrong, and I'm trying to get things fixed. As long as we stay left or right, we're not going to get shit fixed. We're just going to live in the moment. We're going to, you know, do what we're going to do, but then we're going to criticize the other side. Oh, you want to do thoughts and prayers during the school thing, but, you know, it's the same argument.
Well, you know, it's interesting you bring this up, because I understand what you're saying 100%. But, and this is, I'm going to make this compare, it's an odd comparison to make, but I'm going to make it, because I think this is probably what's happening here. The Palace Theater, most people are going to say this is a great organization. Now, the Palace Theater in Marion, Ohio is a nonprofit organization that does a lot of local theater productions. Christmas at the Palace will be coming up here in just a couple weeks. Now, that's great. Now, the money that is spent on costumes and decorations and so on and so forth and programs for that event, there's money spent on that. And it comes from donations. It comes from people who donate to the Palace Theater. A lot of people bequeath them money and so on and so forth. If somebody were to say, amidst a program drive for the Palace, a funds drive, if somebody were to say the Palace Theater is misspending their money, now, not all of it, but they're misspending a portion of their money, that probably would deter a certain group of people from donating to the palace because they would think they're not doing what they should do with the money. And I agree with you. There's no doubt. I agree with that
100%.
Right. There's no doubt.
There's no cookie cutter solution, though.
Oh, absolutely.
You know, sometimes you gotta take a little pain, but in the big picture, you know, wow, while everybody's thinking about this, if we're afraid to talk about it, if we're constantly pointing the finger at the other people on the issues we don't like and saying how they should do it better and this and that, but then we're unwilling to at least say, you know what, there's some truth to what he's saying, you know? It's not that he's being negative. The truth is the truth. If it's negative or positive, it is what it is.
Oh, and there is no doubt in my mind that people have sold the food card. There is no doubt in my mind that people have gotten food when they probably had food at home and they weren't the most desperate need of it. But I doubt that that's the majority of the people.
And no, I don't think it's anywhere close to the majority, and I've never said that to any effect.
Right, but I think that's what... In some ways, I think they hear that because they think we've got a need here. We're running out
of... Because they don't listen, Scott.
Right, that's true.
They don't listen. They listen to your first three words or they listen to up to a trigger word sets them off. And then they shut down and they don't hear the thought anymore.
Well,
people don't listen to the thought. I'm not trying to convince anybody and I'm not trying to convince you or any of your listeners. I'm offering a perspective.
Exactly.
I'm trying to get people to think. I'm trying to get people to say, is there any truth to that? I'm not trying to get you to believe me. I won't put it out there unless I've seen it for myself. So go find out for yourself. I guarantee you, anything I put out there, if you look hard enough, you'll find out it to be true.
Right. No, no.
But these are my opinions.
Absolutely. And you're entitled to those. And I think that it's great that you're giving those, because if we didn't have an opposing viewpoint, it wouldn't be much of a conversation. But I think, I do believe that, just like the conversation we just had here, one of the problems is that this $25,000 from City Council. Now, I don't think people realize that if you give that money to an organization, a food pantry or a homeless shelter or whatever it is, they're going to spend that money in Marion buying food. And
absolutely. I hate to keep cutting you off, but my comments aren't directed towards that. But see, again, people will say, well, Phil, you know, we thought you were talking about this. No, you don't need to think. If you listen to what I'm saying to you, and see, I think that's part of the problem. I think we're complex human beings, and everything today in politics and the world, everybody tries to narrow it down to a one-thing issue or a one-issue vote or whatever. I think we're able to deal with getting donations and getting SNAP to the people who deserve it and need it, because it is 100% absolutely a good program, and many other programs are good programs. But we can also, we're human beings created in the image of God, and I think we're capable of doing both.
Oh, absolutely.
I think we're capable of multitasking and looking into actual fraud, actual this, that, and the other, so we can actually save money and get it to more people who actually... I'm not saying everybody's a thief. And it's not half, but it's not like 10% either.
No.
I'll guarantee you that.
No, I think you're exactly right on this, and I think your opinion's very valid. But I do. We're about to come up on the break here in about 4 minutes, but I want to get your opinion on this. What do you make of the people who are just outright criticizing City Council doing this before we even know how the money's going to be spent?
Well, that's people. People criticize without understanding. Again, like I said yesterday or whenever it was. I think the whole vote on it, I think it was a feel-good thing. I'm not judging Ayers Ratliff. You know, like I said, he was, you know, he's going out the door, and it was a strategic thing, and I'm smart as hell, actually. But it was a feel-good thing, and it's a test of leadership to me. This is where you know, a leader stands up and says, you know what, I have to make hard decisions. I'm not saying he should do this or that with it, you know, but as I said yesterday, you come up with the money for the logos and this, that, and the other. You come up for what you want, and as we all do, and, you know, what's important to us. And I think they can come up with this somehow. They can juggle the money as they did before. Was it a smart decision? It was absolutely not a smart leadership decision on a fiscal side. As far as being a political leadership decision, yeah, it was a good, you know, it's about popularity. Now, he's a Republican, though. He's going to have a lot of people on his side of it that are against those people who receive those benefits. So it's strategically, it's iffy. And I think where he goes with it, as with anybody in a political life, they're going to, you know, gauge that on what their constituents, their voters, you know, are saying to them. I would say that's why everybody's quiet, because they're testing the waters and see, well, you know, I got to keep the people that love me happy.
Yeah. Well, and that's getting votes, and I guess that's how the game is played. But I
that's exactly how it's played in Marion.
But, you know, I do think it's interesting that I'm guessing maybe Ayers had it in his mind going in Monday, but I would doubt anybody else did, and that when they were put on the spot to make a decision right then, every single one of them voted for it. And so Aaron Rollins, I got to give Aaron a lot of credit, because he was a big backer of that party in the park, and he took a lot of heat over that in certain media outlets. But you know what? He was the one who gave the second to that vote, gave statistics, and said this is why. And I also think it's very interesting that Aaron Rollins was a dissenting voice on the economic development director, but yet voted yes for this. I think these are just two different things when it comes to finances. The economic development director obviously is going to cost more over the long term, and obviously as well, that goes to one person. This is not going to one person, and I think those things have to be weighed, I guess.
Actually, well, yeah, and Rollins is leadership material. You got to make leadership material, and then you got decisions, and then you've got feel good decisions. You know,
right? And I think he understood that. I think he understood that. So I give him a lot of credit as well. Hey, we're coming up on the brink. Thanks for being out there. Thanks for calling.
All right. Have a good day.
Thank
Bye.
You. I like I said, I always appreciate people's opinions. Everybody does not have to agree, but we can have the conversation, and that's what this show's about. And we'll continue to have it after this short but important break.
From Joey Diori at WGN's Bozo the Clown.
Before we wrap up, I'll ask, and you can or can't, can you do something in the Bozo?